Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Phil Kendro. Phil is a Marine Corps veteran who is also a founder of the Veterans Beer Club, which has the goal of helping veterans transition into civilian life after the military. So welcome to the show, Phil. I'm glad to have you here. Really looking forward to this conversation.
Thanks much, Scott. I appreciate it. And I have to correct you. I'm actually one of the co-founders. So there's actually three of us total. So I can't just say that it was solely my idea on this one.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think I misspoke there. I think I said founder. I meant to say co-founder, but thank you for clarifying that. But we're definitely going to get into that a little bit more. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
So originally grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, went to Penn State University, got my commission into the Marine Corps there. 20 years in the Marine Corps, was a pilot, was an instructor pilot, was a forward air controller, was a company commander for the Iraq invasion, and a lot of operational time. A lot of community relations time as well. I transitioned out of the Marine Corps back in 2015 and then did a little bit of business development for an IT company, did some airline stuff. Actually was in the Marine Corps entertainment office, which was a blast too. And then, during that time, we discovered that the transition, when I thought, which I had a great network and some great mentors and both military and non-military mentors, which I think is really important, still had some issues finding a job. And, you know, in 2016, got together with a couple of buddies, one guy named Brian Grana and Kevin Cortez, both Marine Corps veterans here in San Diego. And we're like, you know what? We need to change something because we've got these great networks and we're having trouble finding jobs. And, you know, in San Diego County, with such a large group of active duty veterans and spouses, you know, we're kind of blessed and cursed in the county. We're blessed because we have so many amazing opportunities, but we're kind of cursed because we don't know where to go with all those opportunities. And so we said, hey, let's come up with something. And the Veterans Beer Club came out of it, a little tongue-in-cheek name, and has been very successful since then.
That's great. And I'm glad that you managed to find that solution because you're absolutely right. Sometimes it's when you have too many opportunities out there, it's almost like drinking from a fire hose. And it's like you can't get it all and consume all of that information that's coming at you. And when you have a group like the group that you've created, and we'll talk about that in a bit, it really helps to kind of narrow in on the particular opportunities that are available for a certain situation for a certain individual. And it really helps people get on the right track, right?
Yeah, definitely so. And so, you know, we came together and we kind of came up with a charter as well of things about what do we need to do? What does San Diego need or what does San Diego really not need? We have over 2,000 nonprofits in San Diego associated with military and veterans affairs. That's a lot. I mean, again, people just don't know where to go to. We're about 13,000 nonprofits overall. So we got together and we said, you know what? We have about 140 microbrews. Again, this was a few years ago before the pandemic and everything. I think we're down to over 100 now in San Diego County. But we said, hey, what's a great place to get together? And so we went to a brewery called Second Chance Beer Company, which is almost walking distance from my house, which is great. And know the owners, which are absolutely awesome people. And just six of us got together and said, hey, what can we do? How can we make this happen? And so we came up with a charter, basically said, there's three things that we need to do. Number one is help out with that transition, whether it's your first transition or 15th transition. You know, most veterans don't just transition once. They've got multiple jobs. And so when they're done with that one job, then they're trying to look for something else, we're there to help them out. So if it's networking, if it's looking at resumes, a number of people on our Veterans Beer Club leadership team are actually HR experts. And so they have the ability to look at those resumes. We have the ability to help out your LinkedIn profile. We have the ability to help you network. And we touch every industry in San Diego now. So no matter what, if it's defense contracting, it's nonprofits and it's government work, we have the ability to connect you with any of those folks. And that of course took a while, but those were all things that we said, hey, first of all, let's help out with the transition. Second of all is that, you know, as operators, a lot of us, man, I'm not comfortable unless I'm running around with my hair on fire because I want to be doing so many things. And so the second thing is we want to translate that military service to community service. And so getting people engaged with nonprofits, getting them on boards, having them coach their little league team, sitting on volunteer groups. And so that was the second one we determined. The third one, we actually didn't come up at first. You know, we thought it was great to have a beer, meet with folks, talk about the transition. How can we help? But we didn't really recognize about how big of a deal this was because next thing we know, we had people coming from out of city and state coming to our group, our meetings, and it was camaraderie. People and multiple organizations they just didn't have the camaraderie that they had in the military service. And so this was a way for them to get together, have a beer, maybe treat some war stories, talk about what's the good, the bad, and the ugly of going on in their lives, and have those real meaningful conversations if necessary too. So that's really when we came up with the charter for those first three things, was a little bit of what we experienced. But then we were so shocked about, like, people's like, I need something like this just to get out of the house, wife and kids, spouse and kids, crazy job, and I need a break for about a couple hours once a month. And that's really where we excelled on that too.
Yeah. And that camaraderie is such a huge thing. And I talk to veterans all the time through this podcast and other things, other events that I go to and stuff like that. And one of the biggest things that I feel like people are missing after they leave the military, and they don't realize this as they're transitioning out because they're so focused on what's next, education, their job, things like that. They're not focused on things like camaraderie and that sense of belonging that they had in their unit or they're a part of while they're in the military. And when they get out, it's now them versus the world, and they don't have that anymore. So this is a really important thing to have. And when you couple that with the other things that they're looking for, as far as the networking and the career transitions and all that other stuff, the community service aspect of it, that just is a multiplier as far as the benefit to not only the individuals, but to the community, right?
Yeah, very much so. And I'll say, honestly, a lot of us on the VBC are very involved in the community now. I myself am president and CEO of Mount Soledad National Veterans Memorial. I actually do our Veterans Day event tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited about that one. And then a lot of the guys do sit on the board. So, you know, one thing we talk about, civic engagement, is getting out and helping out. If it's the elected officials, if it's sitting on the school boards, any of that type of stuff, and get back to the community. Because again, we got so much energy. What do we want to do with that type of stuff? You know, but there were certain things we said that we were not going to be. And I'll tell you honestly, those were very important to us. With the nickname and kind of the tongue-in-cheek name of the Veterans Beer Club, is we wanted to make sure people did not think this was a drinking club. We didn't want people coming and getting there and just getting drunk and, you know, getting into fights and stuff like that. You know, we were more talking about there were beer aficionados and servant leaders with a networking problem more than anything else. And so that was very important to us early, especially because of some of the relationships we built with different companies, organizations, business chambers, elected officials, that we wanted to make sure they understood that that was a big deal for us. You know, it also wasn't an ego thing, not a look at me. Every meeting we hold for about 2.5 hours, I'd say, at one of the breweries. And we really have a very simple program, which lasts maybe 10 minutes. Hey, who needs a job? Raise your hand. And we actually have name tags with the color that says, hey, I need a job. Hey, who has a job to offer? Different color name tag. Hey, I raised my hand. I got a job for you. Who has events and needs help with some of their different volunteer organizations? It was very simple. And then we take a photo with our flag. And so it was so simple that that's all we were doing, was mostly about networking, a little bit of like, who needs some help? Let's get them in front of everybody. And then let's take a photo and, hey, have a great night. I mean, it was really that simple. And that was part of the secret sauce, as we call it, was keeping it simple.
Right. And I think that simplicity is really what helps out, because when you got people there and they're looking to network with people, they don't want to sit there for an hour listening to people drone on about whatever it is that they have to talk about. You know, a short, sweet, you know, 10 introduction type thing is perfect. You know, just to get the information out there that you need to get out, and then allow them to go out and do what they came for, is to network and get to know the people who are there. And, you know, honestly, I think networking is one of those things that is not done enough, especially when people are first getting out of the military. You may not have contacts in different industries or businesses. You may not know the people. And that's one of the biggest things, is getting to know the people who are in that industry so that you can get access to those opportunities, to job opportunities, or maybe there's some career growth opportunities that come along. And just getting out there and getting to know people and meeting people is such a huge thing.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people always agree, LinkedIn. They want to talk about LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn, I think, is okay. I really don't think it's great. I think it's really just okay. It kind of scratches the surface of really what you need to be doing. And that's where a lot of our approach too has been that crawl, walk, run. We're kind of that crawl state. You're around a bunch of veterans. It's a very low threat environment. You've got a lot of people to talk with that all dealt with this. And then after that, we kind of try to get them to some of the other events in San Diego, not necessarily VBC affiliated, but they're like, hey, these are groups that really help us out. Like the North San Diego Business Chamber is a big military supporter in San Diego. Hey, let's go meet with them. The San Diego Business Journal. Hey, that's some high visibility, high leadership in San Diego. that's going to be a little more difficult of networking. So we're going to build you up so you can go and meet and greet with those CEOs of some of those large organizations and have a conversation with them. And so that was another thing. We said, hey, start here and we'll walk you through to get you comfortable that you can go and talk to that CEO or that CEO of an organization.
Yeah. And it definitely does take practice to do that, because I know when I was early on in my career and I started going to different conferences and other networking events and things like that, it was the most uncomfortable thing for me to do. I felt like I was just sticking to the wall, sticking to myself. Like I didn't really get out and take full advantage of the opportunities that were there. And honestly, it wasn't until somebody else came over to me, introduced themselves to me and got to know who I was, what I did. And then they took me out and introduced me to other people who might be of interest, that we might have a mutually beneficial relationship by getting to know each other. They just kind of took me under their wing. And once when that started happening, I just got more and more comfortable with getting out there and starting to talk to someone. So having a group like this where there are other people who are in similar situations to you, like other veterans who are looking for different opportunities, it's a much less threatening environment than just walking into a room of random people with no similar background experiences, right?
Yeah. And very much you're talking about the networking thing. And the thing is, networking is a couple things. Number one, it takes time. And number two, you never stop doing it. When I first started transitioning out of the Marine Corps, one of my bosses really was big about, like, a number of years before I was in the Marine Corps, it's time for you to get out in the community and start meeting and greeting people. And I really thought that was very much about, like, hey, how can that person find me a job? And it was a totally wrong approach. It was more about building a relationship that would be able to support one another, no matter what they need and what I need, if I can help them out. And that's what I really developed over time, was to learn more, like, hey, this person helped me with mentorship. This person helped me with introduction, stuff like that. What can I do for them in the future to help them with their business, organization, or themselves personally? So that was a big one, I would say, honestly, on that one. The other thing too is never stop networking. I have this debate with my wife all the time. Why are you going to that event? Why are you going to this event and stuff? And it's because the fact is, you always have to have an opportunity around the corner, because you have no idea what might happen. And that's why we say that we're there for that first or that 15th transition, because people have to leave their jobs for one reason or another. Sometimes they find something better. And that's the reason why we never stop networking. And so people are coming out to the VBC a lot of times. They're great. They've got a great job. They've got great organizations they're working for, but you just never know. There's something else might be around the corner that might be even better. And so that's another one, I think, with networking, people don't understand. Just because you got a job doesn't mean that you should stop networking.
For sure. And when you go to these networking events, I think you touched on this, but the goal is not to say, what's in it for me all the time, right? There has to be a mutually beneficial relationship that develops there. But very likely, you're not going to go to a networking event day one, you know, something like the Veterans Beer Club or any other networking type event. You're not going to go there day one, meet someone, hit it off, and get a job or get whatever it is that you're going there looking for. It's not going to happen just quick like that all the time. I mean, you may get lucky and sure, that might happen, but more likely than not, it's going to be, you're playing the long game. You're really developing a relationship so that when there's something that comes up years down the line, perhaps, that's when those relationships are going to come into play and you're setting yourself up for success down the line. And years ago, I went to a conference, met somebody, you know, got to know them, talking to them and stuff. At the time, there was no potential for us to work together business-wise. It wasn't anything that was on the radar. But years later, actually just earlier this year, I ended up selling my business to him and his company. So it's one of those things where if I didn't go to that event, I didn't get to know this guy years ago, you know, that might not have happened. You know, so it's one of those things that you really have to play that long game.
Yeah. I mean, my first job, we got it from a guy that basically I met like probably about a year or two before, got hired into that position. And it's like, hey, I got the perfect person for that position. Now that guy's actually one of my best friends here in San Diego, a guy named Sean Park, who was on my BBC leadership team. So, you know, our team is amazing because, you know, everybody talks about diversity, and you have to have this and you have to have mandates and everything like that. We didn't have any of those mandates. We just had awesome people come together and we have this absolutely diverse group because it's people doing good things and positive things in the community. And so I think there's another thing that I'm really appreciative. And it's not just Marines, even though we start with Marines, we've got our Coast Guard friends out there and our Army friends and Navy, Air Force on our team too, which is absolutely amazing. So I love that. And with this secret sauce or brewing authentic connections, BAC, I joke about, is that it's now gone national. And we've got multiple chapters around the United States. Yesterday, actually, was awesome. One of our BBC West Palm Beach ladies was in town. I hadn't seen her for a couple of years because she started here, moved out there, and she started a chapter out there. DC, Austin, Orlando is a huge chapter. And so we've got very great connections now. We've got across the nation that we basically have a charter. We've got, hey, here's what we look for you to do. Usually we say rules of three, which is basically we need three leaders that are ready to kind of take it on because we're all very busy. And anytime starting any type of organization like this, you need to have more than one person trying to run it. And so that's been very successful now across the United States. And actually, we even had somebody reach out in Europe about possibly starting up it. And it's, and again, we're not a nonprofit. We're just a group that gets together. Everybody pays their own beer, pays their own food, and just gets together, have a great time. But one other thing now that's been awesome this past year is we've already started into a veterans ambassador program for sports. So, you know, a lot of sports teams are always reaching out, hey, can I get a color guard? Can I get a flyover? I'd love to get some tickets to the military service members and their families. How do I do that? Well, that works pretty good for a while because that sergeant major or that major who is the connection with the team is there for 2 to 3 years and can help out. Well, after that time frame, they leave. And so now they got to find out who's that new point of contact within that unit that we can help with this one. We've actually started a veteran ambassador program with pretty much all the major league sports teams in San Diego, except for the Padres, because they have an awesome military affairs lady up there already. But pretty much with these teams and saying, hey, look, if you need flyovers, we can help you out with that. If you need a color guard, we can help you out with that. If you want to have tickets, and a lot of these teams are like, I want to give like hundreds of tickets away. How do I do that? We're like, well, we can be there to help out. And so this has been something we've just jumped into this year, which I've been very successful and been absolutely blessed. Because we bring them into the VBCs. They get to learn more about the veterans and what we do. We just brought a lot of them to the Miramar Air Show, which is the largest air show, military air show in the United States. And I had a great time meeting and greeting with the military, the folks there too. So again, all these things are super simple. It's just that we have some people with a lot of energy, positive energy, and have no egos. And want to use that synergies with the different organizations just to make military, or excuse me, make San Diego a better place.
Right. And I would imagine that even having those connections with those sports teams, that there are potentially opportunities there too for some of those teams who are looking to hire people to get them involved in maybe some community outreach or some other things that they're looking to hire for. And, you know, having those connections is just one step closer to getting your foot in the door to having that opportunity open for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I mean, we actually had a number of the sports teams have said that they've had. Usually it's not necessarily the higher up leadership roles and stuff, because of course these folks have been in sports for years, but they've definitely had a number of roles where they said, hey, look, I need hiring. And for anybody, especially with us, you know, one thing, we're not an officers club. That is one thing we're definitely not. We had to sway that rumor early in our time frame. And I'll tell you, on this, our BBC leadership team, we've got the sailor that was there for a single term up into the commanding officer of one of the units and everybody in between. And so again, diversity of ranks, which has been great. And so, yeah, some of those roles in those companies, they are throwing those at us. We like to say they were kind of like a virus in a way. Once we get inside of a company, you're going to want more of us, and we're going to bring more of us into the company to help out with that company. I think that the military is that way a lot of ways. And you'll see that a lot of different organizations have their veterans program. Some are very good. Some just use the label veterans program. But when they're really true, it is like a virus, and they'll bring in more people because of that energy and the fact that we've worked in diverse groups. We don't mind working those extra hours and all that energy that, you know, really works great for any company.
Yeah. I mean, I think any company would be lucky to find the right candidate in a group like this, because there's so much that military veterans bring to the table. Like you said, willing to work the long hours, yeah, capable of following instructions, you know, things like that. We're easily taught how to do new tasks and learn new jobs and things like that. So, you know, it's just a really great connection to have, having a group like this, basically full of people who are looking for the next opportunity, you know, ready to jump in and just get started. You know, the one thing you sort of touched on, you have chapters all over the country, and there's different organizations, you know, all around doing basically the same thing that you're doing out there in San Diego. What if, I live in one of these areas that there is a chapter. I don't know about the chapter. Is there a place that I can go to look this up to see if there is a chapter in my area? Or is that something that you can list off somewhere?
Yeah. So we have our veteransbeerclub.com, which is our main website. That's just basically one word, veteransbeerclub.com. So that talks a little bit about it. We've got Facebook page. We got LinkedIn pages. One of the things that we differentiate between Facebook and LinkedIn is Facebook, we actually kept to veterans only. We've got a lot of great organizations. We've got a lot of spouses and stuff that want to join our VBC pages on Facebook. But we said, hey, look, this is veterans only because there might be some conversations that we need to just have with them. And I'll tell you, honestly, our Facebook page for Veterans Beer Club is pretty amazing because I could say everything from, hey, does anybody know anybody at this company to I need a veteran-owned barbecue catering company. And I've had answers in 60 seconds. Hey, contact so-and-so. Here's their phone number. They did this for me. And so the Veterans Beer Club on the Facebook, veterans only, so we can have those conversations. The LinkedIn page, the Veterans Beer Club LinkedIn page, we allow anybody to be on there. If it's recruiters, if it's spouses, whoever it is. So that way they can reach out and discover anybody out there. I think that was one thing that was very big with our BBC for the networking part is we don't mind if people are hiring, but what we don't necessarily like people to have this like, oh, they're hiring people show up and just try to grab people because that can make people uncomfortable sometimes. So that's why we also differentiate between the Facebook and the LinkedIn page. And LinkedIn is pretty much just wide open there.
Right. And that makes sense too, that you would have that because sometimes in a group, you might have something that you want to talk about with other veterans and you want to get that kind of feedback or again, just building on that camaraderie and having that space to do that is a great opportunity there. And then, you know, on the LinkedIn side, that tends to be more business focused. So it makes sense that you would open that up to businesses and other supporters and people who want to provide these opportunities or, you know, learn more about the opportunities that are available and just opening that up that way, because that's really what people are focused on when they go to LinkedIn is the business side of things, right?
Yeah. And then also, to be honest, one of the things we try to tell people is to tell your story, especially on the BBC Facebook side, which Loic said, just available for veterans, is to tell your story because we're very bad about talking about me, myself. We're really good about talking about the team. Hey, my team did this and something. And that's the way we are. We're, as veterans, that's what we do. But you got to kind of sell yourself. And that's where I really try to get the veterans to say, I need you to tell me a story about you. Who are you? What did you do? What are your certificates and education? And what do you want to do when you grow up? And so that's where also they can kind of spell that out. So our VBC group can look and say like, I know somebody at this company would love to have you. Hey, you're perfect for this position. Hey, reach out to so-and-so. And so that's also where you can have some of this conversation. But we're really bad. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'll be at a VBC. I'm like, man, tell me your story. Write it down. Tell it. Let's help you out on that one. And it's that whole 30-second elevator pitch. You know, if it's in a group or it's that 2-minute elevator pitch, if you're introducing yourself like for an interview, but we're really bad about that. And we don't practice that because we're humble. We don't want to talk about ourselves in that way as myself. It's always been on my team. Well, it's okay to be a little selfish as you're transitioning and looking for that job.
Right. And I don't even know necessarily if that would translate to being selfish or if it's, I mean, I know a lot of people probably think of it as being selfish by talking about themselves, right? But it's accomplishing a goal, right? Your mission right now is to get out there and find a job. And that's one of the skills that you need to develop in order to get that job, because there's countless other people out there competing for that same job. And if you're not able to do it and they are, they're going to end up with the job and not you. And so it's really a skill that needs to be honed. And, you know, it's great that they have an opportunity in a place like this with other veterans who are willing to work with them and help them with things like the resume and talking up their experiences and coming up with that 30-second elevator pitch too, because those things are all super critical when you get out there and start going on job interviews and talking to people, recruiters or other people who are out there in the business world.
Yeah, it's funny. One thing too about some of our events, we don't necessarily call them like wallflower defenders or something like that, but it was funny, one of the networking groups I've been in San Diego was they literally had people walk around the networking group looking for wallflowers. So if there's anybody sitting by themselves, standing by themselves, they would go up to them. Hey, what's your name? What are you looking to do? Hey, come with me. I'm going to introduce you to so-and-so. So we don't necessarily have it something designated that way, but I'll tell you that's something as well that I walk around personally and look around who's not being engaged so we can help engage with them because it is a difficult process and just start a conversation with them because they just may not know what to do. And so I think that's something that when you go to a networking group, it's very easy to go up to your friends that you know and have a conversation about what's going on, but it's even more difficult and but better to go up to those folks that maybe aren't being engaged and they need a little bit of help to help them out. So I know that's something that I personally look for is when that one person standing by themselves, they just doesn't know how to start engaging with people.
Right. And if you continue doing the same thing that you've always done, you're going to end up getting the same thing that you've always gotten. And that's true in most areas of your life. And this type of thing is I think it's probably just as true in this situation, because you keep talking to the same people that you've always talked to, your friends or people that you've already been introduced to. The limited number of opportunities that are available to you are going to continue to be available to you, and you're not going to expand that network and expand your reach. So it's a great opportunity to expand that and push yourself out of your comfort zone too, because let's face it, it's not the most comfortable thing for a lot of people to just go up and talk to a random stranger, right? So it's a hard thing to do, but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah, I'm sure you can tell I'm very introverted and stuff too, so it's very difficult that. No, and that is one of the things too, is that there are a lot of introverts that hate doing this, and it's really trying to find a fun way. We'll see it's fun. BBCs are a lot of fun. It is a lot of smiles, it's a lot of laughs, and it's some serious conversations as well. But the one thing is that we are trying to make sure that introvert, extrovert, or whatever else, whatever in between, that we're making sure they get what they need as they transition again, their first or 15th time. I've done 5 or 6 jobs since I've left the Marine Corps, and you know, that's only been 7.5 years ago. So that's something that I think a lot of us will never, they never understand about the fact that, like, hey, this is not your job. Once you transition, you may have many more after that. So, and that's why we keep it alive.
Yeah, for sure. If someone who's listening to this goes to the Veterans Beer Club website, veteransbeerclub.com, and they check it out, and there don't happen to be any local chapters in their area or close enough that they're willing to travel to get in touch with some of these people, what's the process look like to get a chapter started in their area?
So a lot of times I've had people reach out on LinkedIn. My name is Phil Kendro. I'm sure it'll be in the, of course, the notes there. So they reach out to us and say, hey, I live in so-and-so. So we basically have divided the United States into 3 different zones. And we actually have regional commanders, regional folks that help out with each one of those areas. And so then we put them in contact with them. They basically give them our charter. They give a little packet that says, hey, here's what we do. Here's what we don't do. And then they go from there. Again, it's rules of 3. So usually if you're in an area and having at least 3 veterans that are there, they can help out. Because again, we're all busy with family and jobs and other organizations we're working with. And then basically they go and find a brewery. You know, one of the things, we go to brewery, we don't pay for event space. We're very big about that one because again, we're not getting any money for this. And so we go to the brewery and say, hey, look, we've got a bunch of veterans who'd like to be here on this date at this time for a couple hours. We love to host it here. We're going to take a photo. We'd love to have you and maybe come up and talk about your brewery. So they kind of have a little bit of feed in as well. And then go and do it. I mean, honestly, it's that easy. And then getting the word out, of course, via social media has been big. We have Instagram page, like I said, a Facebook and LinkedIn page as well. And just run from it from there. Some areas are very easy. San Diego, huge concentration. DC, huge concentration. Orlando. Some places are not so easy in the smaller cities. But, you know, we've really seen that we're not competing with the VFWs or American Legions. If anything, we're trying to use synergies again with them. We bring them in as well. There's a big Army-Navy game that happens at one of the American Legions here in Encinitas in San Diego County. And we help out with that one and advertise that one. So again, all these organizations that may have a little bit of, they need a little bit of energy and jolt, we're always there to help out too.
Right. And there is some crossover. There's things that they do that you also do and vice versa. And there is some crossover there. But I've always said, even with like things like this podcast, there are other people who have similar podcasts where they're trying to help out veterans with various issues and things like that. And I've even had some of them as guests on the show to help promote their podcast. As far as I'm concerned, if the end result is there is a veteran at the end of the day whose life is improved or better off somehow because of what any of us are doing, then we've won. We've accomplished our goal for the day. And so, yeah, that wouldn't make sense that people like the VFW or, you know, an American Legion or something like that would be considered a competitor or competing organization, right? Like everyone is out there trying to make things better off for the veterans in our community. So yeah, definitely working those relationships as well and networking with those people too, the leadership and the local posts of VFW or American Legion or whatever other organizations are in your area would be super important too, to get some of that crossover synergy there too.
Yeah, big about cooperation, not competition. And again, that was another thing too we talked about. There's no egos. There's just a room for it. There's no need for it, especially when we're just trying to do good stuff and get some positive energy towards all these efforts that we're doing. So that's one thing very blessed to have, is that everybody just wants to have a fun time and do good things. So I love it.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to circle back to, you mentioned this early on in this episode, and I want to go back to it. And you mentioned how after leaving the Marine Corps, you went back to the Marine Corps Entertainment Office. And I'm interested in learning a little bit about that, because that was something that when we chatted before, I wasn't very familiar with that. And I'm kind of curious how you got into that and what that all entailed.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. Most people don't know that each one of the services has an entertainment office. And of course, probably most people can tell because of Top Gun Maverick, there was a Navy entertainment office, because gosh knows that they were pretty busy here last few years. But each one of the services has a entertainment office. And that entertainment office basically helps you if a movie studio, production studio wants to do a movie, TV show, documentary, or a lot of our office, the Marine Corps entertainment office, actually was jumping on YouTube. And none of the DOD other services were jumping on YouTube. It was hugely successful. One of our videos that we worked on had like 7 million hits within like a few weeks. So did a great job with the UFC fighter grappling with some of our Marines up at Camp Pendleton. What ended up happening is, because of my stuff on the side, again, I have to run around with my hair on fire, is that working wasn't enough. Creating the VBC wasn't enough. Being on the Mount Soledad board wasn't enough. You know, just kept doing more things. So I really got into a lot of public relations and media relations. A lot of that was stemming from my time at Miramar with the air show. Unfortunately, I was the on-scene commander for an F-18 crash years ago and ended up being in front of the spotlight with the media on that for a bit. So, but I really got into public relations, media relations. And so this opportunity came up with a Marine that I worked with at 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing. I was on LinkedIn, reached out to her and said, hey, I'm interested in this position, and worked in that office for a couple of years, which was absolutely amazing. Working major motion pictures, one you'll see coming out next year, Mission Impossible 7. So pretty excited about that one coming out. We helped out with the premiere for Top Gun Maverick here in San Diego, which was a blast. Worked with Paramount, MTV News. And then, like I said, some of the videos we're putting together on YouTube are absolutely phenomenal too. So the Marine Corps Entertainment, and it was funny because, you know, you're asking, you ever heard about it really? Well, most of the Marine Corps hasn't heard about it. And so it would be funny sometimes working on, we have a show Chopped. Of course, it's out there. And we reach out and people are like, I don't believe that your office exists. Can I talk to your boss, type of thing? So that was something that you would see that most people didn't know our office existed either.
Right. And that's the thing. I wanted to mention that because I'm sure, like me, a lot of the listeners probably didn't know about this even existing either. And, you know, with military backgrounds, like a lot of the listeners have, this might be something of interest to them to kind of coordinate, you know, with some of these movie production offices and other things like that, because maybe they're interested in getting involved in entertainment and things like that. So, you know, I wanted to at least mention it. Just again, part of this podcast is talking about all the different opportunities that are out there. And, you know, I feel like I would probably be remiss if I didn't mention it and bring that back up, just because someone might have been listening at the beginning of this episode, like, that sounds interesting to me, and then radio silence about it for the rest of the episode. So I wanted to at least touch on it.
Yeah. So the entertainment offices for the Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, you know, those are very much affiliated with active duty and active forces. There is a group called the Veterans and Media Entertainment, VME, that is out there. That they are a group that actually is very active, mostly, of course, in the LA, Southern California area, but it's very easy to join them. And then they talk about all the different events that they have. If you're learning about screenwriting, learn about production, hey, we've got a screening coming up of a movie, which was really neat. We just did a screening for one of our movies called Mending the Line, which was a very timely filming because it's about an Afghanistan Marine that comes back and gets mentored by a Vietnam Marine dealing with post-traumatic stress. And it's through fly fishing. And during that filming time was basically right after that was the fall of Kabul. And what was happening during the fall of Kabul? Well, there was a lot of Vietnam veterans that were reaching out to those Afghanistan veterans and saying, hey, look, it wasn't for naught. You saved your brother. You saved your sister. Be aware that you were not there for nothing. And so that was such an important story that ironically, we were just filming to talk about the subject. And then this happened in real life. And so we just did the screening of that movie, and they're going to hopefully get picked up with a major motion picture office, and hopefully be out there. Mending the Line. I was really excited about that movie. It was great to work with that team.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the coincidence with the timing of everything, you know, unfortunately things happen the way they did, but you can't change the past. You can always look forward to the future. But having something like that available to those veterans who are even still now to this day sitting there scratching their head, like, what's going on? What happened? That's a great thing to have. So yeah, I wanted to mention that in all the opportunities available with the entertainment industry, because, you know, I know there are people out there, they're creative. They want to get involved in that kind of thing. And this is just one more opportunity that's available to people. And, you know, I'm sure that it's something that even gets discussed in the Veterans Beer Club from time to time as well.
Yeah, all good. And I'll tell you one thing, back to that Afghanistan thing, one of the most interesting projects we worked on was called Escape from Kabul, which is on HBO Max, hour and a half long documentary. And, you know, they came to our office and said, can you support this? And that went up to the highest levels of DOD because we had Marines talking about something that could be somewhat politicized. And it wasn't, the show was not, or the documentary wasn't. But they interviewed the Marines that were there during the fall of Kabul. They interviewed the Afghanis and they even interviewed the Taliban. So I will tell you, you want to talk about a powerful documentary, whether I know you don't want to hear from the enemy, but the fact was, it was very interesting to hear from three perspectives about it. It was done very well. And that was, I was really proud our office got to work on that one because it was very, very interesting.
That is interesting. And the just the ability to get there and talk to people like the Taliban, who traditionally are pretty close off. They're not as open as some other people might be to get on camera and actually start talking to them. You know, I would imagine that whoever was there with the camera probably has balls of steel going over and talking to some of these people. But, you know, it's important stuff to do. And it's a lot of it's probably pretty fun, too. So I encourage people who are interested in that entertainment industry to look into that as well, because yeah, that's definitely another opportunity. Well, anything else that you want to talk about with the Veterans Beer Club or anything else that you guys have going on? I'd love to give you that opportunity before we wrap this up.
Well, like we talked about, I think just to wrap it up, you know, we're there for your first or 15th transition. Never stop networking. I mean, that's the thing. Never, never, never stop, because you just have no idea about what opportunity around the corner. And if you're ever in one of the VBC cities, we'd love to come join us. Like, usually it's the last week of the month is when we do it. We're actually helping out with the Marine Corps ball coming up. We've got some golf tournaments even helping out. So it's amazing all the opportunities that have come out because of this. Because again, it's just people doing great things for the veteran community and the community as a whole.
Awesome. Well, again, I will have the links to everything that we talked about in the show notes for the listeners so that they can find that rather easily. If you want to get involved with a local chapter of the Veterans Beer Club or even start your own, check out theveteransbeerclub.com. And Phil, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, learning more about the Veterans Beer Club and everything that you guys are doing. Keep up the great work. I really think that you're making a difference in your area of the world and soon to be spreading out even further.
Well, thanks, Scott. I really appreciate it. I got to have a better love me wall behind me. I don't have a really good stuff behind me today, but no, it's awesome to talk with you today, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.